Life in the city has its share of strange and dangerous things. But at least in more populous areas, there is the expectation of the unusual, and a tolerance of the unorthodox. And acts of aggression or sedition are met with swift resolve in the strange find good company. But the city is not the province of the truly bizarre. The weirdest things brew where people have room to roam, under the cover of solitude, into the nooks and crannies that are tucked down too deeply into the landscape, into areas too secluded for the light of day to shine, or the influence of social norm to affect, or the long arm of the law to reach. This is a place where the expectation of consequence and the fear of retribution are unknown. This is where the schemers hide, the occultists practice, and the psychotic take refuge. This is where the overly curious do weird things, and the eccentric know no bounds. This is where the drifters wind up, where the addicts squat in abandoned land, or in silos, or even underground in hidden bunkers. This is where things that are oftentimes too bizarre or repulsive to believe can and do take place. Prepare your mind and join me in a journey into those hidden away places I like to call the Devil's Playground. A man named Forsyth. He looked at me like he knew something about me that he was supposed to pretend he didn't. That was the telltale sign. Everyone else in the room was giving an Oscar-winning performance, but it only took one guy to spook me like that. I backed out of the deal. All the way home, I thought about his eyes. Shifty. Darting back and forth. Too wide, I thought. His brow had broken out in a heavy sweat. He wouldn't look me in the eye. I tested him. I felt like I'd made the right choice. But one thing kept needling me. Why had they let this lunkhead reveal his hand to me so soon? Didn't they know I'd get cold feet? You'd think at these levels of competency that everyone would have nerves of steel, but I guess not. I couldn't figure out the angle, but then again, when you're dealing with this type of secret, there's no telling what kind of game they're playing, and there's no knowing what interests might be involved in manipulating it. The photos in my briefcase rattled as I tilted the case back and forth in my hands. Here was all the evidence, right here in my hands. Along with the photos, there were 3 SD cards in the case with about 90 minutes of video and audio footage contained on them, and one very important artifact. If they were up to something sneaky, why did they let me leave with this? I flung a few cubes of ice into a tall glass and followed it with a generous pour of scotch. I threw back a few thirsty gulps of the chilled elixir. It helped me to think. Damn that Wilson. What did he think he was trying to pull? I knew people. My answering machine was blinking. I took another drink of scotch and refreshed my glass with another long pour from the bottle before investigating. Nobody had my mobile number. I didn't use a smartphone. I used a satellite phone. I had a VoIP landline and an old answering machine. It had a digital drive, so not too old. But no one used these anymore. I liked them. They felt familiar, comfortable. Plus, smartphones could be manipulated remotely. If someone left me a message of interest, they could just as easily erase it remotely before I had a chance to copy it as evidence. My answering machine was routed to my computer, and all incoming messages were saved to an isolated solid-state drive. I had switched off my satellite phone during the meeting and I'd kept it off on the ride home. Listen to me talking like this. I sound paranoid. But I can promise you I'm not. You'll see. I paused to contemplate the list of suspects who might have called my phone while I was in the meeting. Only 5 people had this number. 3 of them I trusted implicitly, but those 3 knew better than to call me while I was at a meeting. Of the other 2, 1 was a female I'd been seeing on and off. The other was Wilson himself. I braced myself and pressed the button to listen.
Forsyth, you surprise me. I thought we had a deal. We're both dignified men and I don't like the position you've put me in here. You'll find that I too have my methods of getting what I want. But seeing as you temporarily have the upper hand, tell me what you want and maybe we can come to an arrangement. You want a piece of the action? Done. Just give me the briefcase.
I stood there and stared at my answering machine until the playback ended and beeped. I continued to stare at it, not knowing what to do next. I decided to call Rhonda, my lady friend. Rhonda, I need to see you. No, don't come here. I'll meet you at the Brass Monkey. Yeah, give me about 20 minutes. 20 minutes later, I was at the Brass Monkey. Rhonda walked into the place like a vision. She had the sweet fragrance of magnolia with the grace of a feathery mimosa flower blowing gently in the wind. As she made a beeline to the secluded booth where I was seated, I felt my manhood stir. I had already downed 2 scotches on the rocks since I got here, and I'd ordered a 3rd along with a margarita for Rhonda. Rhonda, you're a sight for sore eyes.
How could I turn down an invitation to meet the man of my dreams?
The fact that you really feel that way about me is half the reason you're irresistible to me.
What's the other half?
Let me introduce you to a mirror sometime. Maybe you can figure it out.
Oh, you're such a flirt. You sounded upset on the phone. What's the matter?
I may be in trouble.
With?
With the man I was meeting with.
What kind of trouble?
I'm not sure, but he threatened me. That last comment brought the conversation to a dead halt, and we sat there for half a minute in silence, and then the drinks arrived. We each took eager sips, as if the alcohol was going to give us the muster to know what to say next. Rhonda, I haven't been completely honest with you. In fact, I had known Rhonda long enough to be honest with her. 3 months. But she had become like a warm glove, and I felt like a cold hand right about now. I have something valuable that he wants.
Of course. You said you had a business deal.
That's partially true. I'm no liar, but it's a little more intense than that. There's a little more at stake than I let on. I took another hearty gulp of whiskey.
How much more at stake?
The information that I have to offer him could change the course of human history.
Visit us directly online at thedevilsplaygroundshow.com. Subscribe to the Devil's Playground podcast to stay tuned at anchor.fm/thedevilsplayground. And visit our merchandise store at tinyurl.com/thedevilsplaygroundstore.
You've been listening to The Devil's Playground.